I'm not going to take too long. I'm not actually. But I'm just, you know, I'm just aware that the Holy Spirit wants to do some stuff tonight that I feel like I'm in a cave. I just feel like the Lord wants to do some stuff tonight that he hasn't told me yet. So I'm just going to be listening for him and just seeing who the dove rests on, really, who the Holy Spirit rests on, and just looking for that. And waiting for that. So if I pause and if I wait and if I'm silent, it's not because I'm, you know, trying to mime anything. It's just I'm just waiting on the Lord, which is fine to do. And we should really be doing that more and more and more. This isn't an opportunity to hear a sermon tonight. This is an opportunity to meet God's presence and be transformed by his presence. And just because I'm up here saying some words and doing some teaching, that's part of it. But it's all about encounter, and it's all about entering into the Lord's presence. It's not about anything else but his presence. And his presence is so good. His presence changes everything. Every situation that we are in, if we carry the Lord's presence with us, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And if we carry his presence wherever we go, the world will change. And you need to know that. And you need to wake up to that. Tonight I'm going to talk about Jesus the server and Jesus the lover. Mr. Lubber Lubber. It's easier. I think, you know, I'm just going to read out a couple of scriptures. Actually, Kerry, could you do us a favour? There's a couple of props outside that door, a bowl and a towel. Could you just bring them in and just pull them on the stage? That's great. Right, let's turn to Mark 1. Come on, if you've not got a Bible, get one. iPhone it, Android it, whatever you need to do. Right, Mark 1. And this is a very simple couple of verses, but I want to get your Bibles out now. Get your Bible out. Get it out now, because we're going to be in quite a few different passages tonight, a few different scriptures. It'll be like the fastest finger flicks first. But let's read Mark 1. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. At once they left their nets and followed him. That was a interesting moment in the story, in the life of the disciples. The life of the disciple, you know, we can go into the context and the culture. He was a rabbi. He was looking for followers. That was kind of the cultural thing to do. But to see a guy who you've never really seen before, even though, you know, you could probably tell he's a rabbi and all that sort of thing, and you know, you were like the rubbish players on the football team, and this guy comes along and says, "I want to pick you to be on my team," you'd jump at that chance, you would, in that case. But it's still weird that they just, you know, without question and without thought, just left their job, left their day job, just left their nets and followed him in a moment, in an instant. Well, to me, and that's crazy. But they did it. They just responded to Jesus' call and they followed him. Josh, do you want to come and sit on the stage, mate? I'll do this with you. Now, let's turn to John 13, 2 to 9. So, the evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put, well done Josh, all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Thanks, mate. So, staging. Right. It's all right, I try not to get the microphone wet. Anybody who's worried about that? He came to Simon Peter. You can be Simon Peter. We'll wash your feet. Is that all right? Is that tickly?
It's quite nice, yeah.
Other one. Come on. Don't do a half-hearted job. Mate, your toenails are filthy.
That's a bruise.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it? All right. There you go. Well, he did that. And he did that 12 times. You can have that towel.
Thank you.
And you can go if you want. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, and he said this. You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, no. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Now, I'm not saying, now keep those two passages in mind, the follow passage and the serving, the washing the feet passage. I'm not saying that it's easy to follow Jesus, because it isn't. What I am saying is, to truly follow Jesus, we need to allow him as our king to serve us, no questions asked. That really is true leadership and what and it truly mean, and what it truly means to follow him. How much, I'm just asking the question, how much do we allow Jesus to serve us in our lives? How much do we allow Jesus to come alongside us in our day to day and just love on us and serve us and wash our feet? You know, and we consider leadership because there's two dynamics of leadership going on here. There's the following and the serving. And as we consider leadership as a hot topic of Christian teaching, you know, we need to consider how a shift from following to being serving impacts the way that we lead. You know, some of you are leaders in this room. Some of you are leaders because you've got a title. Some of you are leaders because it's, well, and those that have a title, it's in you. It's not just you've got a title, it's in you. And there's some that are yet to really lead, yet the Lord is calling you into leadership. And you will be a leader of this generation, and you will transform this nation. And in that, we need to shift it from thinking that leadership is about how many followers we have, to leadership that is how many people will let me wash their feet. You know, leadership in the Bible, in the King James, is mentioned 6 times. The word servant is mentioned 600 times. And I think that pretty much speaks for itself. If you're a leader, you know, and you feel called to lead, ask yourself that. Ask yourself, who amongst those that I'm leading would allow me, bar those with a crazy foot fetish, who are like, don't touch my feet, that's making, oh, I hate feet, because I know you're out there. And there's always one, I don't know why. Feet are just feet. But you'd allow somebody to who that you follow, would you really let them wash your feet? And who that you're leading, do you think would let you wash their feet? Am I talking about feet washing here? Yes and no. You know, because who would be real enough and honest enough with Jesus or with those that they're being led by to share the grime and the grit and the dirt that is picked up along the way of daily life? Maybe that's too much to drink last night. Maybe that's the random snog that we had in that club the other week. Maybe that's stressing too much about our exams and really we just need to allow the God of peace to come in and just change our hearts. Maybe it's that we're carrying a burden that isn't ours to carry, that we think that something is our fault when really, really it isn't. Maybe there's all of this grime and this grit and this dirt of life, and maybe Jesus is saying to us, let me just come and wash it away. Let me just come and wash your feet. Who amongst us are going to be real enough in our relationships with each other and real enough with Jesus to say, Jesus, these are my feet, they're minging, and I need you to wash them? you know, the crud under the toenail, or the, do we really let him see what that is? Are we going to let Jesus close enough to our lives to really see what's going on? And I know you can think and go, well, God's everywhere and God kind of knows everything, and he probably already knows anyway, so why do I need to tell him? You do. Because it's called, you know, confession, and it's called being real with Jesus and being in a relationship. And if we're not honest in our relationship with the Lord, then we're never going to go deeper in his presence, and we're never going to get more of him in us, and we're never going to be able to step out in faith as much as we can. He's longing for us to step out more. But do we keep him at arm's length, or do we let him in? Jesus wants to serve us. He wants to serve you. So let him clean us. Let him clean you. Let him soothe you. Let him heal your heel. Ha ha. It's a foot joke. The pain and the suffering in your life, or, you know, and all we have to do for this is spend time with him. All the disciples did was they walked with him, they walked where he walked, they followed him, they obeyed him. And as they walked around and as they listened to him and as they obeyed him, he came to them and he said, at the end of the day, I'm your king, but I'm a servant king. So it's my turn to wash your feet. And if you don't let me in, if you don't let me in, Simon Peter, to be really real with me, that you show me the worst of you, because I want it all. I want all of you. You know, there's a picture that people talk about. It's like, invite Jesus into your home, which is us. And do we show Jesus, or perhaps the people in our lives that we're doing life with, that we're doing church with, do we take them and go, come on in, come on in, come on into our house, come on in. It's lovely. The hallway's nice. It's pretty. And me and Helen do this, and you know, just to break any false illusions, like our back bedroom, don't go in there. The door's locked for a reason. It's just this happens. I've got two kids. But like, you know, we don't do this in, we want a house to be nice, we want it to be welcoming. But in the metaphor, people do this. They say, come on into my house, Jesus, or come on into my house, friends. Look at this nice room that I never really go in. But it looks really, really nice, and it's spotless and it's clean, and that's the front and that's the image that I want to portray to Jesus and to my friends. And we take people into this room and we say, have a seat, grab a seat, get the best china out. And Jesus is probably there thinking, this is nice. Thanks for letting me see this room. It'd be really, really nice if you let me see the real you. And back there, there's this room that's lived in that might not be the cleanest room, but it's the room that Jesus wants to hang out with you in. He doesn't want to hang out with people that have pretense, false pretenses, that have guards and that have walls and that have barriers. He wants all of that to crumble away, and he wants his presence to invade every area of your life, and he wants to invade the areas that we're not happy about sometimes, or the things that we're struggling with. Those are the areas in our lives where Jesus is needed the most. If you're struggling with something tonight and you haven't told anybody about it, or if, you know, there's stuff going on and it's overwhelming and it's consuming and it's all you can think about and it's stressing and it's hard, and to just come here tonight and to hold it all together and to have a smile on our face is really ripping you up on the inside. I just encourage you, wow, Jesus is wow, and Jesus is love, and Jesus just wants to break in and be the server and just clean you up and just make you new again. Every time Jesus touched somebody in Scripture, he touched them with a purpose. And that purpose was to heal, to deliver, to restore, to redeem. So are we going to let him touch our hearts tonight? Did we let him touch our hearts in worship, or was it just going through it? All right. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus the lover. That was Jesus the server, Jesus the lover. You know, it's easier I think for us to love Jesus, and I'll make this statement, and it's supposed to challenge our thinking, it's easier for us to love Jesus than it is for us to allow him to love us. It's easier for us to say, Jesus, I love you, than it really is to accept, fully accept and truly accept the love that he's got for us. But how can we truly be the bride of Christ? Have that picture in your heads now, the bride of Christ, as we go on, if we do not accept the love of Christ. Jesus loves the church and Jesus loves you. Might say that it's easy, but what does it look like in practice? Me and Helen, the other night, Thursday night, started doing the marriage course. We went to Newport, yeah, down with the kids. Rough, I held my own. No, if anybody is from Newport, I'm not dissing it. It's just it's a little bit scarier than Cardiff, isn't it? We started the marriage course, and we just had our first night, and it got me thinking that, you know, I can say all this stuff, you know, I can, you know, and husbands and wives, you know, or you're going out to somebody, you can say all this stuff like, I love you, you know, what can I do for you, and all of that, and that is totally right, and that is good, and that is wholesome. But when it turns to what are the ways that I feel loved, like what are the ways that I feel love, and what things can my partner do to make me feel loved? And some of us are, you know, some of us might find that easy to answer that question. And sometimes it is, and for girls it's easier because they go, practical help, every time. No, not every time. There's five love languages and girls often do the practical help one. It's a joke, girls. But it's wisdom. You're wiser than us guys because you're like, get them doing everything, get them... No, it's not. I can feel the tension in the room. It's good. What I think is that, you know, loving someone, right? So when we give out love, that is an action. But for us to accept love and to know that we are loved brings about transformation. We give out love and we can love people, we can serve people, we can help people. But there is this thing in our culture and that it's difficult sometimes for us to let people in on us, on what's on the inside, and tell them really, really deep down what actually makes me feel loved. Or I've been with people and you compliment them and you encourage them, and it's often musicians, and because they're perfectionists. But you say something like, it's really, really good, that was amazing, that was good, that was brilliant. And I've got an old housemate who's like this, and he was like, thanks, and just goes bright red, and just couldn't take it. Like, and every compliment I gave him, you know, about how he played, about who he was, he just couldn't accept it. And I think that goes on in some of us, where we can quite happily sing the songs about Jesus, we can love him, but that's an action, to let him in and to let him love you for you, not for a false you, but for you, brings about transformation. Because when you let him in to love you, he cleans you up and he sorts you out and he heals you and he restores you, and that transforms us into his likeness. How intimate will you let Jesus get with you? We love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved us. If we can't accept his love, we cannot truly love him. God rejoices in his creation. And you are his creation. Isaiah 62 verse 5 says, as the bridegroom, and I love the scriptures that I'm about to read out, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Wow. And as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in, stay connected to my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's John 15. You know, why are we beautiful to God? God thinks you're beautiful. God thinks we are beautiful. Psalm 90, 17 says this, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Oh, ooh, that, feel that. Just let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let's just close our eyes. It says this, it says, keep your eyes closed. May the favour, may the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. For us, yes, establish the work of my hands. The beauty of the Lord is upon you. That in itself is a world-stopping statement. For those who believe in him, for those who love him, for those who accept him into their lives and know that he is the Redeemer, the one that God sent as his beloved, as his begotten son for us, the beauty of the Lord is upon you. Wow. You can open your eyes if you want, keep them closed. Why? What is it? What has God put upon you that he goes wow at when he looks at you? You know, you're unique, okay? God's a pretty good artist. He made each of us different, and that's crazy enough. The personality of God. We are beautiful to God in redemption by virtue of who God is and what he's like. God is so loving and has such great capacity to enjoy his people. To enjoy us. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? And God's personality and perspective is filled with love and generosity for you. The design of the human spirit. We were created in God's image in a way that he likes. God designed us to be delightful and or suitable to Jesus. We are what he likes or desires. We forget that we are the bride of Christ. And God's chosen the church as his bride, and we are the church. And so he's not just chosen some random, like, woman off the street. He's chosen the church to be the bride, the redeemed bride of Christ. And that is what he desires. He desires us, and he likes us. Gift of righteousness. We are clothed with Jesus' righteousness. The very quality of God's righteousness has been given to us as a gift. Our willing spirit. At our new birth, we had a willing spirit or sincere intentions for obedience. When we're born again, when we're born of God, we have this heart's desire in us to obey God and just say, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Our eternal destiny. We are the Father's chosen inheritance for Jesus. He sees us according to where we are going in our destiny in redemption. The fact that our eternal destiny is to be Jesus' bride means that for 99.99999999% of our lives, we will walk in the full beauty of holiness. That's amazing. That Jesus, I know we're here now, but this is a snippet of life, because life is eternal. And in eternal life, we walk in the full beauty of his holiness. So let's now, in the bit now, let's just attain to that. Let's just walk towards that. Let's just know that a day is coming when we marry Jesus. And in that time, his full holiness is in us. And in this time, now, let us walk as if we're knowing and preparing ourselves for that moment of marriage, for that moment of being the bride of Christ. Keep the bride of Christ picture in your heads. Genesis 2, 24 to 25. God's purpose, right, is fulfilled as Adam is joined to Eve in full partnership together without shame. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. A man shall leave his father and mother. Leaving. Jesus left all when he became a man and died. He calls us to do the same. Leaving and cleaving. Joined and cleaved to his wife. Cleaving, mutual embrace, involving love for each other with all our heart, mind and strength. They were naked. And this speaks of living with an open heart. Jesus opens the deep things of his heart to us, and we do the same to him. God gives his secrets, I love this, to those who hunger for them. And they're not ashamed. Not ashamed to be naked, to be real. There's no shame in a true relationship when we truly know our identity and we truly know who Jesus is, because we can be so real, we can be so honest, we can just spray it all there before him and not be ashamed. Because we are to live now and forever with confidence in love without shame or guilt. One flesh, the bride is part of Jesus' body. We are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. You are the body of Christ and members individually. He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. And finally, my final point, the opportunity to express voluntary love. In Genesis 2:17 says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." God gives us the opportunity to obey or disobey him as one to show our love for him. Eve was deceived by Satan, and we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices or tactics. In Genesis 3:1-5, it says, "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' The serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" You will not surely die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. You will be like God. Did God really say that? Did God really say don't eat of that tree? Because that's not. I don't think that's what he said. Satan's half-truth, has God said. Satan's lie, you shall surely not die. Satan's accusation of God, you will be like God. Half-truth, deception, lies, and accusation. The enemy's tactics. Paul used Eve's deception to show us how Satan leads people astray from pure devotion to Jesus. It says this in 2 Corinthians 11. "For I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." I'm pausing because there's something that hits me in that I don't think we've really grasped it yet. That we're being presented to Christ as a pure virgin. And that in his love, and in his transformation, and in his restorative power, and in his love for us, and what he's done for us, and the new birth, and the new life that we have access to now, we are being formed that when we get to heaven's gates, we're not going to be like scraping in. There's going to be a party for us when we get there. And there's going to be joy and gladness and sweetness and a rejoicing in heaven when every single one of you who has walked with them diligently, obediently in their lives, saying every day we wake up and just go, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Anything you want me to do today, let's do it. Let's have fun. because I want to live a life filled with you. I want to live a life for you. I want to live a life that is changed by you. I want to live a life where I can just talk about you constantly, where I can just have you in me, and that out of me comes the very essence of Jesus, so that when you see your friend that's sick, you can pray for them and release Jesus into their life. You can release the power of Jesus' name over them. You can release the power of Jesus' name over a system, a democracy, a government, a nation. Because the name of Jesus is so powerful that when we speak it out, he will give us the nations. Jesus says, pray to me, turn from your wicked ways. Come to my face, come and meet with me, and I will restore and heal your land. Do you want it? Do we want it? Do we want that? Do we want to be able to say, you know what? I lived in Cardiff. I lived in the UK. I lived in Wales. And I was part of a body of people. And we met sometimes in the evening. We met sometimes in the morning. We met sometimes in people's houses. We met sometimes in a building. I was part of a group of people and we prayed and we sought the Lord and we sought his face. And with that, out of that came the very presence and essence of God. And out of that, we just saw these incredible things take place amongst us. We saw people, like, I was just walking down the road the other day and this guy was on his crutches and I just prayed for him and he was healed and he was restored and he was set free and he was saved. I was just going about my business the other day. I was in a lecture and the lecturer was at the front of the room, and it's clear that he's got some sort of motor neurone disability. And yeah, he teaches biochemistry. But so whether he's a scientist and gets this or not, but I don't know. Something just came out of me and came over me, and I just walked to the front and I said, look, I see there's something going on, and you know, with your health, can I just pray for you? Because Jesus wants to set you free and wants to heal you and wants to restore you and wants to bring you into a relationship with him. Are we bold enough? Are we daring enough? Or do we just want to mosey on and let all the rubbish come around us and just consume us? Are we happy playing second fiddle where we just say, you know what? This uni life, the going out, the house parties, the clubs, the whatever it is. Maybe my housemates, if they, you know, it's really difficult. My housemates, you know, the culture that's in my house, in my flat, it's really difficult to be a Christian. So sometimes it's just easier just to kind of go with it. To let that their culture consume me, as opposed to knowing that Jesus Christ, the hope of glory is in you, is in us, and that can consume them. Let our holiness in us be contagious and let it glorify him, as opposed to letting their unholiness dirty us. And when that happens, it's not great, but it's okay. We don't have to do a million things before we come back into the presence of the Lord. We simply have to come and say, you know what, Jesus, I'll let you in. I've stuffed up, I'll let you in. And it's simple. But I'm afraid, lest as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It's simple. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to serve you. So let him in. Let's just wait on the Lord. Let's just pray. Sam, do you want to come up and play? That'd be great. All right, I know some of us, here's the picture, here's my job tonight, because some of us are like this, and we're here, and we're present in the room, but we're not really present. And yeah, that's fine, you know, because I know there's a lot of stuff going on in some of our lives, and that's cool. But Jesus is really, really wanting to speak to you tonight. And really will do anything just to embrace you and just to love you. And then sometimes there's some of us in the room tonight that were in worship that are just like this. That are like, have my whole life. Just love you. Which is great. It's brilliant. I encourage that. Don't want us all to stand crazy. But you know where I'm going. So the picture I have is that we're all on a journey and that we're all somewhere on that journey. And some of us are in a better place than others, and that doesn't really matter. What matters is that we make ourselves available to Jesus tonight. Maybe you're scared of letting him in and scared of being intimate with Jesus because you're scared of what's going to come out of you when you really let him in. But this is a safe place and a loving place and a place of community and a place of family and a place of fellowship. And I don't want us to go home tonight let's just stop thinking about exams and thinking about deadlines and thinking about essays and just for a moment, just humour me and humour the Lord. Let's just think about him. So let's just close our eyes and let's just think about Jesus. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, we love you, just want to think about you. So good. The way you just dare to serve us. Oh Lord, if only we let you. Oh, the way you love us. Oh, the way your beauty is upon us. I just want to let you in. And where you are right now, just if you want to pray a similar prayer to me. And just let him in and just see what happens. And let the Holy Spirit in you. Let's just stand. Let's make a... If you want to let him in tonight, and you really want to let him in, you want him to change you tonight, you want to be different, you just want to have him just enrich your life. I'm not forcing you to stand. If you're not in this place, it's fine. If you really want to let him in, and don't just stand because your friend stood. Stand because you want to stand. Stand because you want Jesus to make a difference in your life. And you want him then to make you a difference in other people's lives. So let's pray. Let's pray together. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray in your own words. But I'm just going to pray a prayer and track it with me if you want. And then we're just going to wait. We're just going to invite Holy Spirit to see what he wants to do. God, you're good. You're so good. God, you are good all the time. God, you are good all the time. And even when I can't see it sometimes, I still declare you are good all the time. And Jesus, I love you because you loved me. And I know that you've done an incredible thing for me in what you did on the cross and the way you rose again and rescued me. But that's not the end of the relationship, that's the beginning. And Jesus, I thank you that you want to transform me today. I thank you that you want an intimate, in-depth relationship with me today. And I want it with you. I want you the center of me. And so, Lord, I just want to strip away every wall. every blockage, every barrier, everything that I put up to you and to those around me. I just want to be real now. I want to let the real me out. Tired of putting up these walls and this fineness, and yet we're family. So God, I let you in and just do what you want. Sort me out from the inside out.